welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. The last several days, we've been ministering on a subject, the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Praise God. And I've been sharing that it is God's heart's desire to be able to minister His love, His peace, His comfort to us no matter what we're facing. But we have to, first of all, believe and understand that He wants to do that. And you might object. You might feel that you're not worthy of His comforts. You might feel that you failed the Lord and you're just not worthy to receive those blessings He has for you. And you know what? You're absolutely right. None of us deserve His comforts. None of us deserve His benefits and blessing. But the very fact that you feel you're not worthy, you need it all the more. You know, He didn't save us because we were so wonderful and charming. Our unworthiness is the greatest claim for His salvation. We experience the comfortings of the divine comforter through our need of comfort. Think about that. That's important to just consider. Haven't you often asked the question, why are there so many trials and sorrows in our portion? It seems like we just, so many Christians, the battles are so intense, they're so severe. But we must feel, beloved, the need of comfort before we can listen to the words of comfort. We have to experience a need to be comforted before we can actually realize that. God knows that it's infinitely better for us to need and receive His comforts than it could ever be not to need them and be without them. So, you know, we have to be in an uncomfortable situation before we can experience the consolations of God. And His consolations means the substituting of a far higher and better thing than the things we lose to get them. The things we lose are earthly things. Those He substitutes are heavenly. So, how do we receive the comforts of God? How to receive His divine strengthening and renewal? Well, we have to take it. We have to receive it. God's comfort is being continually and abundantly given, but unless we accept it, we can't have it. So God's divine method for comfort is the Holy Spirit. He's our indwelling comforter, and He brings to our remembrance comforting things concerning our Lord, as well as the promises of God. And if He brings them to our remembrance, if we believe them, we are comforted by them. It might be a verse of Scripture, a phrase of a hymn, some thought concerning the love of Christ, and we're comforted. It's simply a matter of receiving in simple faith. If we don't, if we insist instead to listen to the voice of discouragement or despair or discomfort, no comfort by any possibility can ever reach our souls. It's like a child who's rebellious, who's stiff and sullen, refusing to be comforted. Well, until they just allow that rebellion and that sullenness to dissipate they're not going to be comforted. We can be the same way. We can't expect to have an inward feeling of the truth of God's words, but we must act in faith. We must put our wills into this matter of being comforted, just as we have to put our wills into all other areas and matters in our spiritual lives. We must choose to be comforted. And when you think about it, it's the nature, the characteristic of the Holy Spirit. He wants to interact with us. He wants to minister to us, but he is a gentleman. So he waits to be invited. We must request. And so we must choose to believe his word, to act in faith, and then choose to receive his comforts. Psalm 94:19 declares, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." And then in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 10 through 14, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow, and I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord." Praise God. And so the God of all comfort, he is our God, and as we allow his peace and his joy to be ministered to us, we'll find that our emotions, beloved, as I've shared from time to time, they're the great motivator. Our intellects, our minds can't provide the passion that you and I need to pursue the things of God. We can have a moral sense of Christian duty, and we can have commitment and obligation or responsibility, and that's a fine encourager to persevere and to endure. But the danger is, after a while, we find ourselves doing things just because we're supposed to, because it's expected of us, because it's Christian duty, if you will. And if that happens, then we lose the excitement and joy of our first love. And that's why the great commandment, if you allow me to say this, has to have precedence over the Great Commission. The Great Commission, of course, is to go into all nations and preach the gospel. Why? Because that first and greatest commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind." That's Matthew 22 and 37. You see, Jesus was putting first things first. Love comes before service. And if we really love God, then it will enable us to keep his commandments. That's why God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm not just talking financially now, but all that we are, our time, our energies, one who gives to the Lord, not out of some perfunctory obligation, but joyfully out of love. Praise God. You know, I just want to take a moment and pray right now. I'm sensing the Spirit of the Lord wanting to just minister to you. Father, we thank you that you've given us, you've created us, you've given us emotions, you've given us intellect. And Father, I pray right now that we will be able to have first priorities, that we will love you first, and out of that great love will come the ability to serve. And Lord, out of that love, that knowledge of your love, will allow you to be our comforter, to minister to us, that we won't follow after other lovers, we won't seek after other idols or gods, but we will allow you to strengthen us, to comfort us, to enable us to be our all and in all. Praise God. I thank you for it, Lord. For the word of the Lord would come to you, my beloved, And I would declare that some of my precious, cherished ones have become numb from the intensity of the battles. They've disconnected from their feelings and emotions because of hurt and because of pain. Or they may carry on and have a smile on their face, but they hide the tears inside. How I long to bind up the brokenhearted and carry those burdens, but I cannot take them. They must be given. Learn from your elder brother, beloved. At Gethsemane, my human nature shrank from the suffering and the humiliation of the cross, but it was for the joy set before me that I endured. And if it was necessary for your Lord and Savior to gain strength in my greatest hour of need by focusing on the reward, should you not also follow my example? My joy was the knowledge that you and all of my family would one day be reunited with me in my Father's house. So therefore, your present, your light afflictions are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. Love me wholeheartedly, love me passionately, love me as I have loved you. Look and see even now, and remember in all those times past that in every moment of need, I've been there for you, and I will never, ever forsake you. You have my word on that, says your elder brother. So be of good cheer. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, beloved, there's a scripture I want to share in closing, Philippians 1, 9 through 10. And this was the words of the Apostle Paul. And I'm declaring these in your behalf, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Praise God. Amen and amen. Well, in a few moments, the announcer is going to give our contact information. If the Holy Spirit's prompting you, he has his reasons, and so I do invite you to write, send that letter, doesn't have to be long, or that email, and as I receive your request, I will pray for you. Thank you for joining me today. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.